Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next half hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Well, hi, everybody. This is a very tired Mike and Linda. We spent all day yesterday at Wahoo's with the kids and grandkids and raced my grandson up the climb wall. And yeah, we're kind of...
And you were winning until you slipped almost at the very top.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I would have won if I didn't just fall off the wall. Okay, and I've got video proof of it. So anyway, listen, we're going to continue our topic through just life-changing truths. We're currently in Ephesians 5. We're looking at just principles that we think really apply properly to marriage, though these scriptures, I must admit, apply to Christians in every day of their life, that we need to love one another, love your neighbor, love your enemy, you know, so you certainly need to love your spouse. So we're in Ephesians 5, but before we get started or pick up where we left off, I'm going to let Linda tell you how you could communicate with us. Now, I'd remind you, many of you have been texting on Facebook or, you know, Facebook live stream or even on the church phone, but we really, really miss people calling. We haven't had a phone call in a while. We'd love to hear your voice and maybe get to dialogue with you a little bit, especially if you have questions or comments on the topic that we're covering. We're covering marriage and what's the right thing to do. And as a matter of fact, I'll remind you, our little thesis is that any marriage can work if you have two people who are willing to do the right thing. And so we're going through the scriptures, showing you what the right thing is. So anyway, Linda?
Hi, everybody. You know, one thing we're noticing is it's much harder to keep up with grandchildren than it was to keep up with our own children.
Yeah.
Boy, you feel your age, and especially these are not just little ones anymore. Our youngest granddaughter is 10. Our oldest grandson is 19. So trying to keep up with all those, the ages in between, it's like, you know, get home and like everybody is exhausted. You know, we're just getting old and that makes us long more for going to heaven, right? Now, if you would like to call us, be live on the radio with us, we would love it. The number to do that is 208-377-3790. I had to think of it. I got the card in my hand here. Again, that is 208-377-3790. If for some reason you just can't handle that thought of talking live on the radio, go ahead and send a text message to Calvary Chapel Eagle's phone, and that is 208-891-2635. If you're out there in Facebook Live land, go ahead, leave a comment. We're keeping an eye on those ones, too. Shall we get started?
Okay. Well, one of the things, maybe we could get some feedback from our listeners. I know sometimes Linda feels like we drag on these things. She goes, Mike, let's just move a little quicker here. We already covered verse 10. Let's keep moving. Let's move ahead. You know what? Verse 10, let me just read you verse 10, because I just feel like it's a verse you could camp on. It says, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. I think that should be the theme of every Christian's life, is that not only finding out, but doing what is acceptable to the Lord, because there's too many people who just feel like, you know what, God just loves me the way I am, it doesn't matter, and they don't put any effort to find out what is pleasing or displeasing to the Lord. That's why we study the Bible, folks, so we could know what pleases Him, what doesn't please Him, so we could find out how we might worship Him and live our lives accordingly, according to the will of God. And so anyway, where we left off yesterday was that verse 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. But I will continue on. And, you know, I do believe we need to finish maybe the rest of this chapter, because if we're going to focus on marriage, it'd be a shame not to finish chapter 5, which deals a whole lot with marriage and with husbands and with wives. So let's just see how far we get today. So it's talking about finding out what's acceptable to the Lord. Verse 11 then says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, you know, let's take it a check at a time, because here's something interesting. There's two things that Paul is telling us here. There are, well, three things. One, there are unfruitful, easy for you to say, unfruitful works. There's unfruitful works of darkness. There are things out there that are not acceptable. Man, I have a speech impediment today. Not acceptable to the Lord. And it actually is not acceptable, but it's also unfruitful. It doesn't get you anywhere. There's a lot of things the enemy wants to get you involved in your life that waste your time, waste your life away, and brings no fruit for the Lord, that's for sure. It may bring other kind of fruit, maybe bad fruit. And so have no fellowship with these things. And so first, there are unfruitful works of darkness. Two, we're told not to have fellowship with them. And there's a third. Three, rather expose them. Now, that's interesting. Why? What does that mean? What does that look like? Personally, I think that it's not enough for a Christian just to say, well, I don't do those things. I think it's important for Christians. For instance, let's start it on the most basic level. Christian parents should be teaching their children, dear, this is not good. This is what is not pleasing to the Lord. I know recently we set up a booth at the Boise Goddess Fest, and we set up a Jesus booth to tell all these people who are looking for different gods and goddesses about the one true God, Jesus Christ. Now, we weren't obnoxious. We were polite, and we just shared the gospel. But we ran into quite a few Christians in that at that festival, and I didn't talk to them personally. Some of my coworkers and the other people from the church told me the story that they talked to mothers while they were doing face painting, and the mothers were admitting they don't even go to church, and they're Christians, but they don't go to church. They're going to let their children choose for themselves, let their children have their own, make their own decisions. And folks, honestly, I think that's the most foolish thing a parent can say. You don't tell your child concerning drugs, we'll let them choose whether they want to do drugs or not, right? You don't let your children concerning sleeping around or crime, name things that you know are obviously wrong. You don't tell them, well, I'm going to let them choose for themselves. It's a parent's job, it's a parent's duty to teach their children right from wrong and to do right. And so it's really troubling when I hear parents say, well, I'm just going to let them decide on their own what religion they want. Well, if you do know that your religion you're in, Christianity, is right, don't allow them to even consider Satanism or polytheism or atheism or all these other isms. Make sure that you teach your children right. So anyway, all this, because this is just one example, when it says don't have anything to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. There's one picture of it, but you know what? I actually also think it's important. It's our responsibility in our community. You know, it's been a while now. I used to go to the Eagle City Council meetings regularly, and there's times issues are brought up, or there's times you're in a group discussion, or even when I worked in a secular job, you hang out with people and they talk about things as if that's just acceptable and that's the way it is, and you're expected as a Christian just to go with the flow. I think it's our responsibility as a Christian to expose the truth and expose the lie and say, you know what, that's based on a misconception. That's why it's important for you to do your homework on the controversial things, what's politically correct. There's a lot of things you can get in trouble with at work. I realize it. I heard recently that in California, the teachers in the universities and colleges can't even refer to students as him or her, because what if they're not really him or her? What if they've chosen to be a different sex than what they really are? You could lose your job. I had a discussion with somebody who was hearing about this and had an insight information on it recently. And they says a teacher could lose their job in California if they refer to somebody in their classroom as a he or a her, because it's unacceptable. What is this world coming to? It's crazy. You know, I don't know. I'm getting off on another rabbit trail here, I know. But there's just too many things in life that cause a Christian to feel like they're walking through a minefield, that cause us as Christians to feel like you just better watch your step, watch your P's and Q's, be careful what you say. But the Bible says that we need to find out what's acceptable to the Lord. The Bible says that we need to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness and even expose them. That means exposing lies and revealing the truth. Now, use wisdom. Ask the Lord to give you wisdom. If you're in a job where you could lose your your job. You could get fired for some things. Ask the Lord to give you wisdom. Don't just hide. Don't just hide under the covers, but let the Lord give you wisdom and show you how you might address some of these things that are maybe that's not politically correct and you could lose your job over it. But you know what? If the Bible says don't have anything to do with those things and yet expose them, you need to say, Lord, how does that command apply to my situation right here, right now?
Yeah, one thing I get out of this is when you go back and you look at the darkness, it starts at verse 3 that we've already covered, but it lists some of the works or the unfruitful works of darkness, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. Don't even let them be named among you. Look, I caught it too. That's how tired we are. Our voices don't even work. Filthiness, foolish talk, coarse joking, jesting. These are not fitting. Okay. Idolaters. It's talking about all this. When we get to 8. It says, you were once in darkness, which was just described, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. I think part of that exposing is for other Christians. I think that if someone is living in sin, we can't just sit back and say, oh, well, because it's not even to be named among you. It's not fitting for Christians to live that way anymore. And I think that's part of the exposing is, hey, brother, hey, sister.
Right. Right.
That isn't what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, judgment starts in the household of God.
That's what we used to be. We're supposed to be different. We're now children of light. We're not supposed to be doing the darkness anymore. So I think that's part of it, too, that we're not to have fellowship with those we used to hang with. You hang with those you used to hang with, you're going to more likely fall back right into it, okay? Because they're unfruitful works of darkness. Don't have fellowship with them, but rather expose it. And I think that also can mean that we go back to the old crowd we used to hang with and let them know, hey, wait a minute, that's darkness we lived in. I lived in it with you too, but now I know the Lord. Mm-hmm. Now I'm exposed to light. Now, if they don't accept it, that's okay. Don't hang with them, okay? That's a dangerous place to be, especially for a new Christian. Right. Oh, new Christian, it is so dangerous for you, and I know it's so hard for you to give up your old friends. But if they don't want to step into the light with you, you are most likely going to be pulled back into the darkness. It's better to find new friends that are hanging in the light so you'll have strength there, because being a new Christian, you're already weak. You don't know how you're supposed to walk. You don't know what you're supposed to be doing. You don't know how to recognize the voice of the Lord yet, or the voice of the enemy, or the voice of the world. These are things you grow in as you mature as a Christian. So somehow we got off on, don't go back to from where you just came from.
Yeah,
how's that?
I like what you're saying, hon. It's really first and foremost applies to Christians. That you don't go around pointing at the world and say, you're not supposed to be that way. Well, sinners will sin. And if all they are sinners and they're not born again, they're not saints, they're not Christians, and they don't claim to be, you don't go around shaking your finger at them and saying, you're not supposed to do what you're doing. And it starts first and foremost with Christians, that you hold them accountable to walk in the light and not to participate in darkness and the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead you expose them among the brethren, first and foremost. I like that. Rather than go around exposing sinners for being sinners. That's just what they are. But it goes on in verse 12 then to say, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Now, it's talking about the unbelievers, people living in darkness. And what Paul is saying, it's shameful to talk about, even to mention the kind of things that the unbelievers do in secret, the sin that they live in. Now, this brings up another one of my pet peeves. Why, as Christians, can we realize, I would never do that, that's wrong, and that's wrong, and that's wrong, and yet the movies we watch and the music we listen to glorify the very things that we know God's called us out of, the very things God's called us to repent from? And I think there's a whole new breed of Christian today. Linda and I were talking about this earlier this week, that there's a whole new breed of Christian in America that are like hip and liberal, and it's like, okay, we're into this now. Yeah, but that, I know the Bible says that's wrong, but you know, it's just entertainment. And I hate to even mention some of the things going through my mind right now because you're going to all hate me. But there's movies out there that all the Christians love, but it's about witches or it's about vampires or it's and the witches are the good guys. The vampires are the good guys. The people who are involved in unfruitful works of darkness are your heroes. Okay, that's my pet peeve. You deal with it now, and we'll keep moving forward here, okay? Now, it also says, but all things are exposed. All things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Now, I think this is a brilliant strategy that Paul's giving us, is if you walk in the light, and if you come to the light, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He's also the light of the world. And because we've come to him, we are little lights. We're lights of the world as well. And if we're walking in that light, then naturally there are some things that just naturally get exposed without you having to say a word. Okay, I really believe, I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in other Christians' lives. That when someone gets gloriously saved and they're walking with the Lord and they're filled with the Holy Spirit and they go to work and everyone knows they're different. Everyone sees a difference.
Yes.
And the things they used to say in front of them and the jokes they used to tell in front of them, all of a sudden they feel a little awkward. I remember when I was a young man working in a secular job and people they'd blurt out some foul language and they go, oh, excuse my language. I never told them don't talk like that around me. They just knew because I was a Christian and they had some kind of respect and they knew there was the difference between light and darkness. It goes on to say in verse 14, therefore, he says, what? Linda's got something.
Well, we have a comment here. Ryan writes, what about new Christians living a secret life because they are afraid to say or talk to people?
Okay, they're living a secret life because of fear, because of intimidation.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully this is a real temporary thing that they learn and they get courage. I really believe that when new Christians get involved in fellowship and they start reading their Bible, they become empowered.
Got to find a good church.
Yeah.
Got to find a good church.
It's Acts 2:42. We always talk about Acts 2:42. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayer. And if a new Christian just receives Christ, but then never finds a good church and just kind of hides out, that new Christian is going to wither and be persecuted and maybe even go right back. It's the parable of the sower of the seeds, you know, the word gets choked out by the cares of this life. And so it's really important that new Christians get plugged right in to a healthy church that teaches the word and not just a church, but that new Christian reads the Bible themselves. I remember one of the big changes in my life, and I think I was 17, 18 years old. I was in high school, and I got saved, and I'd go home from school, and as a matter of fact, I was learning to play the guitar back then, and I'd go and close the door in my room, and I'd just worship the Lord. I'd open up my Bible, and I'd read the scriptures, and then I'd worship the Lord. I had a real sense of the presence of the Lord, a sense of reverence and holiness for God, and it all came from spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer, hanging out with other Christians who did the same. And so if that new Christian doesn't plug into a healthy church, if that new Christian doesn't start reading the Bible on their own and praying and establishing a strong vertical relationship with God, then that new Christian will have a whole bunch of things that could just smother and wipe him or her out so that now they're afraid, now they're intimidated. And I would say one of the reasons a new Christian will be afraid or intimidated is because all of their friends are not Christians.
Yeah.
If you get a few really on fire friends who love the Lord, and I'm talking about real Christians, not people, other Christians who compromise and they're afraid too. But you know, honestly, a personal testimony, when I got saved back in high school, I hung around with some Christians that were really bold. They wanted to go witnessing and they would tell people on school campus about Jesus. And I hung out with them. And that emboldened me to be like them. That emboldened me not to be intimidated or afraid of the world's judgment upon me and criticism upon me. That feeling was still there. You know, you still feel a little bit intimidated that, you know, you could still feel like, gee, everyone thinks I'm weird because I'm a Christian, or that they are all doing this and I don't believe in doing this. And so now I'm a square, I'm a weirdo, you know, that everyone has to deal with that. But that helps us grow. That helps us grow and overcome and learn to go, you know what? I need to take a stand. And so, Ryan, I don't think you're describing yourself, because I know which Ryan this is. But if you have friends who are in this condition, then you need to encourage them to get plugged into a healthy church. You need to be a strength for them, an encouragement to walk strong, to take a stand for Jesus. You know, if you just get blown with the wind in any direction you want, you're going to end up in the wrong place. You know, what was it? There was a T-shirt we used to have when I was a high school pastor, of all these fish going one way, and there was another fish going against the stream, going the other way. And it said any dead fish could float downstream. You know, it takes a live fish to swim upstream. It's just, that's the battle we all face, and we all have opportunities to be intimidated or to be feeling weird because we're a Christian, but that should drive us to take a stand and to draw close to the Lord. You got something, hon?
Well, it's really hard as a new Christian. You can't live a secret life. That is almost an immediate nail in your coffin type of thing. It's going to put you in a place that you're going to set yourself up to fail. If you really meant it, if that person really realized they are a sinner and they need the Savior, and Jesus is the Savior, then you need to be able to speak out, proclaim it from the rooftops. You know what I mean? That's where the song comes from. You know, I'm going to shout it from the rooftops, because you can't keep it secret. If you can keep it secret, maybe you don't realize you are a sinner. Maybe you don't realize how much you needed a Savior. You know, it should be such an excitement, that salvation, you can't keep it quiet. You know, and new Christians need to hear that if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father who is in heaven. These are things, yeah, we get to kind of later, but with new Christians, we need to let them learn there is not a successful secret life. We are to proclaim to the world the Lord, and we are to die to ourselves, and that's going to cost us something. And maybe it's going to cost us our old friends. But that might be a good thing if it costs us our old friends.
Yeah, sometimes we need to get rid of those
sometimes
old friends.
Like I was saying, we need to get rid of the old friends. We need to get out of those circumstances. If you had trouble drinking and you just hang with people, that's all they do is drink all the time, guess what you're probably going to be doing real soon? You might last for a week, 2 weeks, a month, 2 months, maybe even a year. But sooner or later, you keep hanging with it. You're going to hit a tough time, and you're going to grab that bottle and go back to it. So that's why you need to get in church. That's where you're going to find new people. That's where you're going to find fellowship. That's where you're going to find people who believe like you do, that you don't live your Christian life secret. You live it out loud.
Amen. Well, it's funny. This next verse kind of brought back a memory. The next verse in verse 14, it says, therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. For one thing, the obvious reason in the meaning and the context is that we're all called to wake up from our sleep, because some Christians are even spiritually asleep and not realizing, man, there's a battle going on around me. I need to rise up, and I need to live the Christian life, and I need to be who God's called me to be. And as we do that, Christ will give you light. The memory that this brings up is the kind of friends I had back when I was in high school. One day I was sleeping in summer, and my high school friends came over to visit me on summer vacation, and I was sleeping. They're awake. They're coming into my room, and my mom let them in my room, and they came in, and they opened their Bible to this verse, and I was sound asleep, and they both read it together. Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. I'll never forget that day. I'm sound asleep in my room, and my two Christian buddies come into my room and read that verse to me. That's the kind of friends we need to have. That's the kind of fellowship we need. And that's the kind of fellowship we need to be to one another.
Yes.
To stir one another up, not to be afraid, but to take a stand and live for Christ. I hear the music. Our time is up. I hope that the Lord's spoken to you in a special way today. Other than that, thanks for joining us again. Lord bless you.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at cceagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to lookup at ccEagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus.
Look forward.